Today we're going to go through just three verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And if you don't have your Bible, it's going to be on the screen. You can go on our app right now, and all the scriptures I'm going to use this morning are there. Now, these three verses are stuck right in the middle of Paul talking about, about his apostolic authority. There were people who were questioning it. Very contentious, rebellious people were questioning his apostolic authority. And Paul is right in the middle of defending that, right? Are these three verses about the demonic. Now, we're going to see that often it's not just people who are opposing us. It's a demonic spirit behind them. And that's what I believe Paul was trying to communicate here. That often the contention or the resistance that we get from people, there's really a demonic spirit behind that. Ephesians 6, Paul talks about defensive weapons that you and I can put on to protect ourselves from the demonic. But this morning, we're going to talk about going on the offensive. The fact is that as we go forward to accomplish God's will, we're going to encounter the demonic. A couple weeks ago, Mark preached a message on the hidden battle. This is kind of part two to his message. When I heard the message, that's when I kind of got this idea. As you move forward in Jesus, you're going to come and face opposition. The opposition is going to come in all kinds of forms, and we're going to talk about that. But if you want to have victory and overcome this opposition personally in your life, or in your family, the work, school, community, or in our government, there's some advice that I'd like to give you guys this morning. Advice that I've now know and learned and lean on last 40 years of ministry and 50 years of being a Christian. Now, I remember the first time I ever encountered the demonic. I had only been a Christian a short time. I grew up in a Christian home. My dad was a pastor, but I rejected Christ probably sixth or seventh grade, and that's another story in itself. I was the poster child. You know, that people laugh about PKs and how horrible they are. That was me. So I give my life back to the Lord. We never talked about the demonic in church. Never talked about Satan, demons, none of that stuff. And so I get saved about a year and a half. I'm working at my dad's church, and I look back now, it's kind of funny. The only reason why I had that position, the youth ministry, the concert ministry, because my dad was a pastor. Otherwise, anyway. So I was dating this girl, and she was pretty. And I only say that because, you know, I really didn't want to rock the boat. And because did I say she was pretty? And, you know, I was kind of wondering, why does this girl like me? I like it, but anyway. So we were working down in the youth house one night. I don't remember what we were doing. We were getting ready for something. And so I just asked her a simple question. How did you become a Christian? I just wanted I wanted her testimony. And she says, well, I've never asked Jesus Christ in my life. I'm thinking, what? You're going to church? She said, so anyway, to make a long story short, I said, we can do that right now. I led her in the sinner's prayer. I explained everything to her, and she became a Christian. She asked Jesus Christ in her heart. Almost immediately, she asked Jesus Christ into her heart, and her face got just white, and she said, what's that black flash? I said, what black flash? And when I said, what's that black flash, this demonic spirit threw her on the ground. She's writhing on the ground, spewing all this stuff, and to say I didn't know what to do is an understatement. Here's this girl I'm dating. I'm even having visions of marrying this girl, and she's writhing on the ground, and, you know, I've seen some of the movies, you know. I'm going, holy cow. So I did what any young man would do when he doesn't know what to do. I called my mother. My mother lived a couple blocks away, and my exact words to her were, Mom, if you love me, cut down here right now. I don't know what to do. So in minutes, she's down. She opens the door. She sees this girl on the ground writhing around. And some of you remember Marks and my mom. She was an incredible prayer warrior. I mean, she didn't even, she said, oh, Jesus. And she got down on her knees and she laid hands on this young lady. She started praying, and so I did too. And it took a while, but that demonic spirit left. And so, of course, I was curious. And it turned out that this young lady had been experimenting with a Ouija board, if you know what that is. And doing that, she had opened herself up to the demonic. The point I want to make today is in the course of going in the wild, in the course of telling people about Jesus, you're going to encounter the demonic. And usually it's not going to be as dramatic as that, be more subtle. But it's the demonic, the kingdom of darkness, working nonetheless. We can't, I guess what I'm trying to say is we can't pretend that the demonic doesn't exist. It absolutely exists. One of the problems I have with, quote, Christian counseling is they counsel without ever thinking about there might be a demonic thing here, right? We don't do that here. We don't see demons behind every bush. That's not what I'm talking about. But we pray about maybe that's a possibility when we're counseling with somebody because we want to help them. So let's go ahead and read 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. And remember, this is just kind of put in a section where Paul is defending his apostolic authority. For though we walk in the flesh, in other words, we live here on earth, we do not war according to the flesh. In other words, there's a spiritual dynamic to the battle and the strongholds that we come against. For our weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses or strongholds. Basically, a stronghold is a lie of the enemy that contradicts the word of God. Some statement, some belief that counters what the word of God says. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And what I want to do this morning, as I read this and I think about what Paul's, the context of what Paul is saying here, defending his apostolic authority, I believe that there are four important truths. And some of these truths aren't specifically spoken here. I'm just talking about 40 years of being in the ministry, 50 years of being a Christian. The first truth that you and I as Christians have to admit, number one, you are no match for the demonic. Now, what do I mean? Just stay with me here. Understand that demonic spirits, Satan himself, have a lot of authority and power. And I want to ask you, where do they get this authority and power originally? From God. That shocks people, but it's the truth. They're right. Romans 11:29 says this: the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. Now, this is, we could preach a whole message on this, but I used to wonder, how can this guy preach the word of God and for all these years and have all this success when he's got this secret life going on, right? Whatever that secret life is. Now, that secret life always gets exposed and so forth, but sometimes for years, this goes on, and God keeps using them and so forth. It's because the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. So Satan and his fallen angels rebelled against God, and they now use their power and authority that God originally gave him for the advancement of the kingdom of darkness. Just look at the world. These aren't, I mean, they have power. Jude chapter 9. Even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not himself dare to condemn Satan or slander him, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Now, I've never read a lot of commentaries and theories about what in the world's going on here, right? Body of Moses, what the? I've never read a commentary that really explains to my satisfaction what's going on here. But I believe there is one truth that we can glean out of here, absolutely. And that is that Michael is careful how he speaks to Satan. And the reason is, I have to conclude, is he understands that he has power and authority. And notice how Michael does speak to him. He speaks to him through the authority of God. He doesn't say, I rebuke you, or say, he uses the authority of God. There is no room, this is what a point I'm trying to make here, there is no room for arrogance when dealing with the demonic. You and I are simply ambassadors. We are representatives of Jesus. And so often I've seen people forget this. Whenever I deal with a demonic spirit, and it doesn't happen that often, you know, where something manifests itself, but I want that demonic spirit, I want that stronghold, when I'm praying against it, I want them to see Jesus and mirrors of angels behind me. I don't want them to even see me. As far as I'm concerned, I would just want to be a talking mouth that is proclaiming God's word, and God is standing there going, yes, yes, listen to him. James 4, verse 6. God is opposed to the proud, but shows grace and favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It seems pretty clear here. James is saying successful resistance and victory over the demonic starts with humility and consecration to the Lord Jesus Christ. John Paul Jackson. He was a minister. Unfortunately, he's passed away. He passed away at a relatively young age. But about 24 years ago, he wrote a book. Well, actually, 20 years ago, it was 2004. He wrote a book, and the title of the book was Needless Casualties of War. You might want to read that. I should have had it up there. It's called Needless Casualties of War, John Paul Jackson. What prompted him to write this book is friends of his were really having some major problems. There was something 20 years ago called spiritual mapping. People would go into a city, try to figure out what the main demons, the most powerful demons were in that city. They'd go on top of a hill and they would start rebuking it. Where is that in the Bible? And you'd go to conferences, and they would have you, I went to some, they'd have you stand up, and you'd face the north, and you'd spend some time rebuking the main spirit of the north. And then you know, where is that in the Bible? And it was very arrogant. And John Paul Jackson wrote this book, chapter and verse, went through the casualties. And it's a very interesting book, and if you're interested, it's on Amazon, like $14 or $15. But probably the best book that I've ever read on this subject. And you know, I don't know about you, but I don't want to talk. I was arguing with God. I don't want to talk about Satan. I want to talk about the kingdom of darkness. But we just went through a series where we want to go into the wild. We've got this church reaches out, and we're gonna encounter the demonic. You're going to encounter the demonic at your work, at school, in our government, everywhere. You're going to see it attacking your children. And hopefully by the end of this message, you'll know what to do. Second truth I want to talk about this morning. Number two, in Jesus, we have access to divine power. Ephesians 1, starting verse 18, Paul tells the Ephesians, and ultimately you and I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened to the power that is available to you as a Christian. You never have to be afraid of the demonic. As you serve Jesus, as the demonic manifests itself, and it's right there, or you see it in your children, you have more. God has given you more than enough power when you rebuke that power in the name of Jesus. any power will flee from you because you love Jesus. In Acts 16, there's a slave girl, and she's following Paul and Silas, and he finally gets sick of this because she had a demon, and she was causing a distraction. So he turns to her finally, and he rebukes the demon. The demon comes out of her. Two things here. Number one, and the most important point here, is that in the course of doing what God had called him to do, he runs into this demonic spirit. He didn't go looking for him. He didn't see demons. He didn't see a demon of cold, a demon of headache. I mean, this kind of stuff was going through the church at one time, a demon of cold, a demon of backache. I mean, some of that's maybe possible, but it's crazy. It's crazy stuff, right? And people were buying into it. Anyway, when you've been around as long as Mark and I, you've seen all kinds of things. But anyway, the point here is in the process of trying to accomplish God's will in your life, see God's will being accomplished in your kids' life, in our country, in our community, you absolutely are going to come in contact with a demonic. You don't have to go looking for it. When we put Jesus on, I mean, when you put his Holy Spirit on, when we put the armor on in Ephesians 6, you're going to have all the power necessary to rebuke the enemy. I guess the point here is nowhere in the Bible we told to go looking for him. It's going to be obvious. Number three, third thing I want to talk about briefly here, is that we are basically in two battles. Internal battle is in our mind, and the external battles which are in the world. And these battles involve strongholds or fortresses, and what these strongholds or fortresses are is simply a belief that is contrary to the Word of God. A philosophy or whatever is against the Word of God. Now, internally, this battleground revolves around fear, lust, jealousy, rejection, greed, guilt, anger, unforgiveness, pride, and so forth. And some of us growing up, we learn to cope with life's situations in a variety of ways. Dishonesty, lying, denial, fantasy, blaming other people, excuses, isolation. All these are strongholds. All these are lies of the enemy on how to deal with life. One of my strongholds I had to deal with soon after I became a Christian was lying. I wouldn't call it lying. I would just say it's, you know, kind of exaggerating a little bit, making the story a little better and making me look better. And I got really good at it. And I've always had a very good memory. And so, you know, I would hear people say, you know, you can't lie because you won't remember all your lies. I'm thinking, I remember all of them. But anyway, so I become a Christian, and I figure, you know, this probably isn't any good. I made all kinds of excuses for myself. And then one time, I'm talking to somebody, I don't want to go into it, but I exaggerated, you know. And I came under conviction, and I said, Lord, I want to stop doing this. And clear as a bell, he says, are you sure? I said, yeah. He says, well, I want you to call this person right now and tell him that you're a liar, that you lied to him, you exaggerated to him. And every time you lie from now on or exaggerate anything, I want you to call that person and apologize. If you do that, Dave, you won't lie anymore. So it only took about two, hey, guys, it only took about two or three times to be absolutely embarrassed, and it just knocked it out. It's just in case you have a problem with it. Lying, that's how to get rid of it. Anyway, fantasy, denial, lying, dishonesty, jealousy, lust, all these things are strongholds that the enemy will try to use to control your life, to neutralize you as a Christian. And they need to be overcome, they need to be dealt with, and they need to be rebuked and yet need to have victory and overcome these things. And so we have various ministries to help you here at this church. We have You know, the definition of rebuking a demonic spirit. Siri just put this on my phone. What does Siri know? But anyway. Last service, she gave me a list of scriptures about the demonic. I mean, just, and she started speaking them at me. I don't know. Weird. When you got ADD, that stuff is really bad when that happens. I don't even remember where I was. Oh, we have various ministries in the church. If you're dealing with a fortress in your life, a stronghold, I just made a big long list. We have a counseling center. We have peer counselors. We have a freedom conference. We have freedom classes. We have home pastors. We have pastors. The enemy does not want you to be free of these things because that's how he controls you. Okay, so that's kind of the internal battles that we've all faced at one time or another. But there's external battles that we encounter in the world. For, I guess, about 40 years of being a pastor, I could really only identify three. But now there's a fourth. You put the four strongholds or battles that we face. The first is individualism. Now, our culture is a worship of self. I'll never forget the time about 25 years ago, I was buying something in the grocery store, and I look over, and there's this magazine, and the title of the magazine, you know, weekly magazine, was Self. I thought, perfect. So it's the right to pursue whatever you want. When individualism has got a hold of you, you don't want, I mean, you should be able to do whatever you want. There should be no restraints on you, especially morality. As long as I'm not hurting anybody else, you think you're better than me, anyway. Then there's relativism, that there's no absolute right and wrong. What would be right for this young woman here would not be right for this woman over here, and so forth. What's right and wrong is really relative to each person, where you grew up, and so forth. Then there's humanism. Probably a real stronghold in the West. It's the belief that humans are born basically good. That all of us are simply products of our environment. And certainly, men or women are not born sinners, right? It's a very convenient way that Satan just did away with sin. There's no real need for God because everything you need in your life to get over things or be a success, everything is resident and lives inside of you. I mean, it is inside of you. It's just, humanism says, just a matter of unlocking the potential inside of you, or, you know, that old saying, the greatest counselor is the one inside of you. What a bunch of crock. But anyway. And then recently, I don't know, 3-4 years, we have a new stronghold, and it's sexual identity. In other words, you don't have to accept the gender you were born with. You, as a God, should be able to determine your own gender. This is a serious delusion, stronghold. It's the ultimate rejection of God's created order, and it is beyond my comprehension to understand it. These poor people shouldn't be helped to accept how God created them. No! You can cut off a 14-year-old's breast and she can now be a woman or some other things to the guy. And we should, and these 13 and 14, 15-year-old kids should be able to determine themselves. The parents shouldn't be involved. And you have these butchers, as far as I'm concerned, doctors, that'll do this. I don't know how a person who took the Hippocratic oath that is, can cut off a 13 or 14-year-old's breast, cut off the genitals of a young man. I don't understand. It is beyond, well, it's demonic. It's delusion and lie beyond comprehension. We Which brings us to the fourth truth that actually I'm going to spend the most time on. And that in Ephesians, we're given a list of defensive weapons that we can put on to shield ourselves against the lies and so forth of the enemy. But you and I have been called as soldiers to enter into a battle. And there are three major weapons to destroy the demonic. And why don't you put them up there? The Word of God, prayer, and worship. I'm just going to run them by you quick, and then we'll make some comments on each of them. As you and I live this life for Jesus, we're going to come in contact with the demonic, either internally or externally. And we need to understand that we can go to battle, we can go to war, we can go to with those three things. Whether you're dealing with something, a demonic internally, or you're dealing with some external thing, if you're dealing with some stronghold that is trying to have access and have influence over your children, these are your main weapons. The Word of God. Start with that. Hebrews 4:12, Ephesians 6:17, and other places, the Word of God calls the Word of God a sword. A sword. Internally, when Satan blurts out his lies to you, you can immediately resist that lie by the truth of God's word. And that's example. Jesus did that. Matthew 4, Mark 4, when he was in the desert and the enemy was blurting out his lies, Jesus simply quoted the word. When the attack, now one of the strongest strongholds of the enemy is rejection. It has amazed me over the years when a young woman or a young man has been told by their father repeatedly as they were growing up, you're worthless, you're never going to amount up to, you know, just that type of thing. My brother Mark calls those kind of people child assassins. Good term. Because that's just a stronghold. But you can, if you recognize that in your life, you can get over it. You can rebuke that, and you can live in freedom for that. But let's say the enemy comes and he says, you're a failure, you'll never add up to anything, why try this particular thing, you're going to fail. The way you do what Jesus did, you rebuke that lie with the Word of God. Well, the Word of God says, I'm a child of God. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, all the promises of God in Jesus are yes. Psalms 108 says, through God I can do valiantly. You find scriptures that speak truth to this eternal stronghold in your life. You memorize them and you go to battle. Some of you are thinking, well, that's all nice and good. But the battle I face internally was so strong, I've tried that. I've tried reciting scriptures, and you know, I pretty soon run out and the battle is still there. And I understand. For a while in my life, when I was younger, because of my own folly, I was filled with fear. I was so afraid. I was under a psychiatric, you know, a doctor's care. But I was so afraid I couldn't leave our house. I couldn't go out the front door. I could not leave the house. I was a basket case, all right? And I wake up two at 3 o'clock in the morning, filled with fear about everything. And so, you know, I'd start reading the Bible, but I'd try to speak God's word, but the fear would overcome it. I tried to, you know, and then I would try to read God's word, but, you know, my mind was garbled. And then I found out something. Just read it out loud. Just tell that demonic spirit, hey, sit down. I'd like to read you God's word. And just start reading it out loud. Just start reading it. I mean, that demon is not going to sit there and listen to you read the word of God like a bedtime story to this demonic spirit. It works, guys. I am telling you, this is one powerful tool, the word of God. And even if this stronghold has you gripped, you can read. Even if you went to public school, you can read. And it just out loud, make that demonic thing, listen to it, and they don't want to listen to that. The second offensive weapon that we have is prayer. In our internal battles, we can ask God for strength, wisdom, faith to overcome, and don't be afraid to have people pray for you. At the end of this service, we have trained people who want to pray for you. You just tell them what you're struggling with and let them pray for you. Let them pray for God's power and strength to come in your life, and it will. We ask God to push back the demonic attack in our lives with Jesus' authority. We command that demonic spirit to leave us alone, but sometimes it takes a while. Remember when Jesus comes down from the mountain, his disciples are, you know, there's this boy who has a demon and his disciples can't cast it out. Sometimes, Jesus said, it takes a while. You got to pray, you got to fast. But eventually you're going to win. That's the thing. Eventually you're going to win. Persistence wins out. When it comes to the demonic, persistence wins out. Always. I want to give you a quick example. I was very afraid to fly. My gosh. My wife will tell you, early in our marriage, days before I would get on an airplane, I was just petrified. And I'd use all logic, goodness gracious, even if the plane goes down, I'll only be scared for a few minutes, then it'll be all over. You know, nothing really worked. And I was sitting, and at that same time, the Lord was opening up, some of you have been here for a while, opened doors for me all over the world. I was going, doing conferences. I was traveling a lot. And days before I get on the airplane, the whole time, every time there was a, I mean, I would, you know, every time a little turbulence. And, you know, I used to laugh. I said, Lord, you did this on purpose. You knew this is going to be like this. But anyway, that's another story. But, so I had been rebuking this. I had been praying for this. And one time I was sitting at a gate waiting on a plane. And I started, you know, and a scripture came to me. 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but spirit is, you know, a sound mind. And I quoted that, and it's like all my prayers converge on that one moment, kaboom, the fear was gone. It was an incredible experience. Now, I was still afraid to get, on the plane, but it was different now. That demonic stronghold had been broken in my life. What I'm trying to say, it didn't happen immediately. I had to pray and work through it, but eventually, I'm telling you, it's got to go. It's got to crumble down. Has to. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. That is a true statement. But sometimes these strongholds are strong. That stronghold of fear was strong in my life because the things that I had done for years to let that stronghold into my life. Anyway, Paul says, whoops, wrong one. I want to skip to the external battle that we face in prayer. In our world. Prayer is the one weapon that he does not want any of you to use, especially when we gather together and pray for our city, for our government, for revival. He'll do anything to keep you from a prayer meeting. After all these years, I can just simply say this. I'm convinced that in every situation, every conflict, the outcome can be radically changed if you get on your knees and start praying. Amen. If you and I persist in prayer against the lies and the demonic influences in our own lives, in our children, in our friends, and in our community, sooner or later, they have to break. We are to engage the enemy whenever confronted with confidence. Whenever we find the kingdom of God hindering, excuse me, the kingdom of darkness hindering the kingdom of God, we need to pray against it. And understand, like any battle, like any war, it usually takes a while. Third offensive weapon is worship. Now, worship, like prayer, releases God's power. And worship has always interested me and I was only a Christian a short time, and I used to notice that I had all kinds of internal stuff, fear and everything, and my mind was jumbled. But when I, and it was my own fault from all the stuff that I had taken and done, but when I worshiped God, there was clarity, there was peace. And so I go to church services 2-3 times just to experience worship and be free from this stuff. And for years I was trying to figure out what was happening. And this is what I know. When you worship, and worship is a decision. We're not just singing songs. A lot of people come here, hope it's not you. They come here, they like the song, they sing the song. That's not worship. Worship is a decision. I don't have time to get in this. Decision, I belong to you, Jesus. I submit myself to you. I'm going to worship you right now. That kind of person, when they come and they start worshiping, singing these songs, faith is released in their innermost being. And I'm telling you, when faith is released, power is released. That's what I know. Worship releases faith, and faith releases power. Worship releases faith, and faith releases power. Worship is powerful. Acts 16, you have Paul and Silas. You know, first they get beat with rods, and look that up sometime. You know, we just read through that. Beat with rods. A little spanky. No, it wasn't really, I mean, horrible. They're locked in the innermost prison, and what do? They start worshiping God, worshiping and singing and praising God. Faith is released, great power is released, earthquake comes and delivers them. I'm telling you, worship is powerful. And you may say, well, you know, frankly, I don't even like to hear myself sing. I sound like a frog. It's horrible. Well, okay. Turn on. Guys, you all have your... There isn't a person in here that doesn't have a cell phone. You have access to just about every worship song that has ever been produced. And just sing along with it. I found out a long time ago, if you're singing with somebody who's really good, you sound a lot better. And just start worshiping Jesus. See what happens. The demonic hates worship songs to Jesus. Why do you think we start with worship here? It sets everything, power is released. Most of our home group, we found this, Mark and I found this out way early on. The worship service that we have today, it goes so much better because we start with worship. And enough of you were worshiping. Enough of you reminded yourself, he's God, I'm not. Thank you for what you've done in my life. I just want to worship you. And when that happens, you sing the songs, power is released. Faith is released, and faith releases power. I need the worship team up here. Okay. Now, I just went through, obviously, we could have spent a whole lot more time in every single one of these, but it's just kind of a shot here. But I hope you were challenged that the demonic is real. You're going to face it. It's just a matter of when. Not if, when. The enemy wants to neutralize you. He wants to neutralize you. He wants to neutralize you. A lot of us, he knows, I'm never going to not believe in Jesus. Okay, then. His strategy is to neutralize you so you don't do anything. You become a threat. You don't win anybody to Jesus. You don't do anything. I hope that's not you. Speak against that. You can have victory. I'm sure a lot of people told my mother, they couldn't believe my mother just kept praying for me. I know I've told you many times, I come in the house, I'm stoned out of my mind, and my mother's in the back room crying out for my soul. I thought, this woman is certifiable. I gotta get out of here. But she just kept praying. My younger brother, if he was here, I'm not talking about John right now, I'm talking about another brother, but young. She prayed for him for, what, Mark, 30, 35 years, I don't know. And one Sunday, he's sitting in church. I had a hard time. It was a Sunday I was preaching. He was sitting there with my mother. I didn't know what to do. Just keep praying. Keep pushing back the demonic. You have been given the authority. You will win. You will win. You will win. Let's stand. Get mad at the devil. Get mad at him. If he somehow snickered one of your kids into some lie, pray against it. Well, I'm excited now. All right.